Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
It is another Hoops Adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. Marcus is at Warriors practice. He may or may not join us, but it does not matter because the guy, I can do 2 hours with this guy blindfolded, butt naked in a snowstorm. It's fall five.
Again?
My boy. Again, Jason Todd Jackson.
Greetings. I wish I was providing you good tidings from paradise, but these series move towns. And so as we tape this, this is prior to game five, as I like to refer to it as elimination game number one.
Exactly.
Of what could be the sixth occasion of the historical ridiculousness of a what tends to be an untraditional eighth seed that upsets a one. I remember back, because we were together at the Worldwide Leader doing what we do with chambray shirts and banded collars back in the day. You know, I had an affinity for the Heat before I worked for the Heat, because I worked in Miami before coming to ESPN. So that lockout season of 99 was my first full season as the host of the show that gets you in the flow.
There you go.
The NBA tonight.
You can't have a good night.
You can't have a good night. And so that Allen Houston shot.
Oh, yeah.
Stays. Yes. That was 1-8. And the thing that was crazy about that 1-8 with Miami being the one seed in that, I think, only 50 games after the lockout that year,
that
right?
That sounds right. 50 games
and,
a year, yes.
Yeah. And so Miami maybe, was the one.
Was that 66 maybe? Or am I thinking?
No, that was 50. Year? Yeah, that was 50 that year. Okay, we had 60-some
66
for 12.
Was 2012. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. You've been through too many lockouts. That's your thing.
That's true.
But so Miami was one. New York was 8. And it wasn't a real thing, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's 50 games. So it's tough to have the standard, you know, kind of filtering out of things. And then I think New York won like their last regular season game to even get in.
To get in, yes.
And then that's that game, that's back in the five game first rounds.
Yes.
And Allen Houston.
I was at that game. I was at the Allen Houston game.
Yeah. You always left and went to the good game. See, people need to know about the insider days of the Worldwide Leader.
There you go.
TA basically made his own schedule.
No, that's not true.
Yes, you did.
That is not true. Julie Mariosch, please, would tell me where I was going next.
But, yeah, you definitely were on the street far more than
I
Fred
was,
or myself.
I did
or
get
Andre,
out.
Yeah.
I did get out. Yeah. That's true. Because I was at when they beat Indy in game three, the four-pointer, Larry Johnson, I was at that. And the Jeff Van Gundy, when they chanted his name, when they got to the finals.
Something
so I
else.
Love the Garden, man. So that's why. If
yeah, you're
boys,
ready.
If your boys finish, I was just there this weekend for games three and four with Cleveland, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's different.
So I will be happy to come back.
I was just recently saying, if this does go as it is currently set trajectory-wise,
yes.
It's very challenging for the team down 3-1 historically to find their way back, because they have to win all the games. They have to win all, and the other team has to win one. That's how there's elementary math for you. If it go, I was saying on our plane ride up from Miami to Milwaukee for Game 5 to the folks that have been around for a while, that, yeah, we had a playoff series, I want to say in 11 or 12 during the Big 3 era against the Knicks, but it didn't, like, those series were all inevitable.
Was that
the Stoudemire?
That was the, yeah, and you guys won in like 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah, it was a definitely gentleman scenario.
And then that's when I saw Kate Upton in person at Madison Square Garden, and she walked right past me.
Did she do that dance? Did she do that dance for you?
And I literally went, "Habedika."
With a TNT microphone, credentials to be a speaker of things. And you go, hey, lady, listen, one day I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame for this. But this will not be that. This will be a harbinger back to the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, not that style.
No. But the history.
But two coaches that love defense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
The discipleship is not quite the same, but the fact that Pat Riley's coaching tree and executiveness still exists with the Miami Heat, and it's still New York and Miami, man. Like, it's still East Coast. And for all the people that fled New York for the Wild West of the South during COVID, you're going to have to pick a side now. Came down to South Florida so you could do whatever you wanted.
Right.
For 2.5 years. I want to see you in the go New York. Go. You live in Boca. Stop it.
All right. When was your first year with the Heat?
2004.
Okay, so
2005.
You've seen all of the three championships.
All three, yeah.
Yes. And you've seen all of the finals too, then, right?
All of them, yes.
All of them. All right.
Yep.
So you have a historical background that none of us have.
Yes.
Put James R. Bucket's 56.
The third best playoff performance in the history of the Miami Heat. And the only reason why I stop it at third, because people, first of all, we'll go right into recency bias. I'm fighting.
Yes,
fight it off, right?
Yes.
Then the next layer is, it's the first round. And I'm not negating that a great performance can't happen in the first round, but if there were great performances and they happen in the finals or in the Eastern Conference Finals, which, by the way, are the two performances.
Correct. I know Eastern the Conference Eastern Conference semifinal. One.
Yeah, yes. Eastern Conference semifinal. I'm sorry. Was against Boston. Semifinal? That was a semi. Yes.
That's Game six that's in nuts. Boston. That was a semifinal?
Yes.
Are you nuts? Sure?
Had to play Indiana in the conference finals.
Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man. I thought that was the conference final. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about LeBron game six in Boston. 45. Was it 47-45?
Oh, 45, I think. You mean my
And then, I don't, not that many assists that night, but no, maybe but like, okay. Yeah, 7 or 8 rebounds. Dwayne Wade, obviously, in game, that had to be game 3 of the 2006 finals.
Oh, yes. That's a good point. Yep.
I have a tough time of which was 1 and 2.
Yeah,
because I give Dwayne the edge because he's Dwayne, right? He's the greatest player in Heat history, and that's not taking anything away from LeBron. It's just four years versus the totality of your time.
Yes, sure.
And what he elevated was a part of the elevation into this entire championship era for the Heat anyway. So I would go Wade, 2006, game 3, when the Heat could have gone down.
Yes, series is over.
0-3, yeah.
If they lose, it's over, yes.
The planning of the parade that had already started in Dallas after game 2 would have been reasonable.
Yes, yes.
But it wasn't. So, and then the iconic, I mean, like that, this right here. Yeah. I mean, for all time, that photo.
In the garden, come on.
Come on, man.
In the garden.
Against in a good Boston team. Yes, exactly. And LeBron was one for the ages. It's got to be number 2, imagine, in his mind.
Yeah.
Of his performances. I don't know. He might have some stuff in that was it 2016? Was that 2016?
Game
7? Beyond game 7. He might have stuff in that series that meant more to him.
Maybe.
But I'm saying from my eyes, that's at least number 2. Yeah. And then this one. It's the most points scored in a Miami Heat playoff game ever.
Yeah.
It's top 5 in a playoff game ever.
Right.
This league is as old as my mama. Right. Exactly the same age. And so when I step back and go, we're not the oldest league, right?
No.
But we are clearly dynamic, yes. Right? No, we tend to get most, yeah, we tend to get most things right as it pertains to the societal movement what's needed in growth. So in our youth compared to football, baseball, and hockey, we do some other things really, really well. And it's these dynamic moments in time. Because even when the full screen came up on Heat Lab postgame with Mike, Elgin, Donovan, and then and then Jimmy as the top performances, I saw three of those.
Wow. Right.
And I'm 50. Right, right, right. Like, I'm right. not, you know.
Right, right, right.
It's pretty sweet to be able to have that type of tangible feel on the greatest things that have ever happened in this game, and to have watched Jimmy do this now, both in front of my eyes against Boston in that run to try to get to the title last year, and then that finals performance in Orlando that I was watching TV with everybody else trying to call those games. And now this, it's so just refreshing to just have fingerprints on it. And now, and here's the thing, David, that I'll share with you, that it's the moment it hit me really hard. Like, it wasn't lost on me.
Yeah.
That I was calling that game. And as you know, man, I've spent the majority of these 30 years hosting and reporting, and I had lifted that skill set and that role even within just the Heat organization to a place where I'm super proud of it. But taking on radio play-by-play just a season ago, so it was my second full season, and having called some of the great performances that Jimmy Butler has provided now is a blessing that you just can't, you don't anticipate that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Kevin Harlan down there, right?
Right.
Who
right,
is,
right.
I told him this year, I said, you are an R&B singer.
Right.
I said, you don't call games, you sing games to us.
Yeah.
It is, I said, somewhere between a opera because of its up and down and drama and Key Sweat. Somewhere in between Kevin's so awesome that he'll, like, he really was trying to ingest where I was going with it. I'm not sure he agrees, but that's what I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I try to emulate from his style. Then I have Eric Reed, who has been the voice of the Miami Heat for the entirety of the Miami Heat. And I get to align alongside those two men who will soon be with you as Kirk Gowdy Award winners.
Exactly.
And rightfully so. And I wouldn't hate winning that award someday either, if you want to let somebody know.
It's inevitable. It's coming. It's coming.
If you want to let somebody
Were you screaming know. Last night at the
end? You know what? People have asked about that, and I take offense to that because I don't scream.
I did.
I boom.
You boom.
I mean, David, I stood for, I think, all three of the threes he made. Like, actually stood. And I have to be careful because the cameras for television
are right
behind me. Yeah, and the last thing they need is this milk chocolate, mahogany, cherry wood deliciousness that is my scalp all up in the shot.
In their grill.
Like, for history. Could you imagine? So I kind of, for those who watch the edition of it, my upshoot is kind of like this.
You're leaning.
And I'm like...
Like you're about to start the 200.
Yeah, like, or like I played 37 minutes and I have to make these free throws to win. I got my hands on my knees trying to get it. You know what was on my mind more than anything else? It's just call it as it is. Like, don't try to come up with some line. Don't try
something corny. Right.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like I have an organic kind of funniness about, you know, that's just me. Personally, and then I kind of dropped that down in my play-by-play. But my boss, Miami Heat Executive Vice President, Chief Marketing Officer, Michael McCullough, told me early on last year, let big moments be big.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to be an FM DJ on the Quiet Storm, I think, during the preseason. It was like, Butler on the left. He's going to swing around. Here comes Lowry. Lowry, step back, three, splash. And we'll be back on the Miami Heat audio experience.
All right, Melvin Lindsay.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, it was ridiculous. And so I let it rip.
Yeah.
And that's more than fun. Anything that has to do with my call is that there's been a lot of discussion around this team. And listen, I'm going to be biased. I'm a Miami Heat employee. The success of this team impacts me both emotionally and financially. So I am, and people are like, oh, you're a homer. I've said the term is checker. I get paid to do this wild thing. I mean, are you kidding me? So as a team employee, as someone who is thankful for, quite honestly, and you know this, and I'll share this with your listeners, the resurrection of my career came at the hands of the Miami Heat bringing me in the early 2000s. And I never, that never leaves my thoughts.
It's always front of mind. Sure, of course.
Always, 20 years later.
Yes, of course.
You know, yes. And it's not me being petty or small or
no,
not.
No, it's reality.
Acknowledging that I'm the one that got myself dismissed from the worldwide leader. It's just, it was so hard for 2 years to get anyone to understand that me at my worst was not me.
Right.
That this is a young man's folly, and you need to be able to grow and understand how to best conduct yourself when people are not as, I'm not going to say not as vested, David. I just saw work was just another extension of my life, and I needed to let it be work.
Yeah.
And I try to do that as best I can now, but I'm still vested deeply because this is an art. We'll do another pod on what we think about broadcasting NBA games. But it was this team, for whatever reason, and I think it's just easy to hate on Miami because everyone loves to be in Miami and not everyone can live and work in Miami. I think that's what really is at play. And we don't shy away from two things. One, being who we are as a franchise and also letting you know who we are as a franchise, right?
Exactly.
And so because there's a certainty that even in this next iteration, San Antonio has, Golden State has, Dallas has to a level, right?
Yes.
That you just know what it looks like and feels like and smells like to do it right.
Yeah. So why and so you're you trying to get to that way. Yeah.
So you try it and you don't really get away from it.
Yeah.
You don't get too far away from it. And even in this iteration of the Miami Heat, it doesn't feel like it did when I got here.
Yeah.
There's been evolution. There's a different coach. This is a different era. The vibe of the player is different. The game itself is different. Sure. When you go look at the box scores from the first round of 2004 and then the first round of 2023, are you kidding me? It was like 12 threes combined, right? And that's the first quarter around here.
Right.
It may be for one person. So this team, for whatever reason, because of what is, I believe, just kind of a standard, I don't, it's not, can't be disdain, and it's not quite jealousy. It's somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no recognition for leading the league in most games missed due to injury.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's on the tip of the tongue or top of the head of most people. And I actually credit Spo and the players for that because they don't lean on it.
Right, exactly. They don't.
But I'm like, you don't have to lean on the truth. It's just the truth.
It's reality. Right.
That if this team actually had the majority of its frontline players on the floor more than not, probably wouldn't be an eighth seed. Yeah. And so you know what's happening now, even with Victor Oladipo and even with Tyler Hero out, is that there are more people available who are intended to be available than were at many phases during the
regular season. I am so impressed with Duncan Robinson because he was mothballed. Like, you don't play, son. You don't play anymore. And when he had to take the jacket off, he was ready. And that's remarkable to me.
It's very sweet of you to note because Duncan's story is remarkable, right?
Yeah.
Division III transfer to Michigan. Don't get drafted. Find your way into the Heat's program, as I like to call it, into the G League, into a two-way, into a full contract but barely in the rotation, into the rotation, into a starting role. It was crazy. And this year, it just – and it started kind of at the end of last season.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
And that was just, Spo, I think, just not the defense wasn't where it needed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. And so I think that's what Duncan probably focused on.
Yeah.
And then Duncan came in and just didn't quite crack what was once there.
Yeah.
And then he had a major hand injury.
Yeah.
So he was gone for a month and a half, almost 2 months.
Right.
And so, man, like Udonis Haslam, he's got about a million lines in 20 season, but the one that everybody clings to, that it speaks to what you're talking about with Duncan, stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
It's remarkable. It's remarkable. It's not remarkable. That's what that team does. And, you know, you try to explain that to people in other cities.
They'll roll their eyes at you, David.
Well, wait a minute. They've made the playoffs 16 out of the last 20 years, and they've been in the finals like 6 times, and they've won 3 championships. Maybe they're doing something right down there that you might want to emulate. You know?
Well, most organizations, though, David, as you know, you have to start with credit with the Arison family.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just a stable.
Yeah.
Just a stable crew. If you run it, you know Mickey. So if you ever run into Mickey Arison in the street, you won't know that you ran into Mickey Arison in the street.
Right. That's right. That's right.
His wife Madeline's the same. His children are the same. Nick's the CEO of the Miami Heat. And, you know, Nick's now, you know, married and a father. And when's the last time you interviewed Nick? next time will be the first time.
Exactly.
Right?
It would be never.
So they let the basketball people do their job. And Nick now is a basketball person. Like, don't get it twisted.
He went to
Duke. He was a manager at Duke. His father made him come, his parents made him come up through the organization. He worked over in business ops. That's where he was working when I showed up in 2004. And I think it was a decade.
Right.
Before he had a leadership role over, it might have been less than that, but over on the basketball side. But it was very similar to the way Ted Arison, who put all of it up front for the Heat to even become a franchise 35 years ago, did with Mickey and set the tone for, you will work all over the cruise ship.
Right. Yeah.
Here at Carnival Cruise Lines, and then you'll be on the board. Don't worry, we'll get
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
But you're going to work on every you're going to be on the Lido deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
With Isaac.
You and Isaac are going to make some drinks.
Be in the bow with Captain
around
Stubing.
Here too long. I'm not. This is not a comfortable conversation anymore. But you get the idea.
I get your drift.
Of how it goes, and so. When you decide in 1995 to bring an icon into your organization, you pretty much say, yeah, I could go with 27, 30 years of that.
Yeah.
And crazy. Then we're in year 27 of that run.
That's crazy.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply. apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I can't believe I have to ask you this, but I have to ask you this. Like, because I'm be honest with you, I had this as a gentleman's sweep for the Bucks.
You're not alone.
Relatively easy ones for the Bucks just because of their ability to defend. And I'm not writing them off yet. I think all they have to do is win one game at home, and then they're, you know, we'll see what happens in game six. But assuming that history holds and Miami does win this series, which is the better matchup for them, New York or Cleveland in the next round?
I'll tell you that it's pretty even, right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, Eric Spoelstra and these players won't care.
No, I know they don't
care. But I'm going to tell you something. In this 35th anniversary of Miami Heat basketball, to be able, and this is no, I mean, I don't want this on anybody's bulletin board. I am from Cleveland, Ohio.
Exactly.
The winters of 1975.
Bowling Green State University.
I am Ohio. I would love that. And a matter of fact, I do believe, if my Heat history serves correctly, it's the last Eastern Conference team the Heat have not played in the playoffs.
Is that right?
It's unique. Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost
They've never
positive.
Played Cleveland?
That's really? The only, I believe, oh, wow. The only
I did not
one.
I know that. Okay.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of good stuff there for me personally.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
But I understand the Riley era and how it began and how full circles this would be. And the energy and excitement around the Knicks is important for the NBA.
Yes. Yes.
It really is. And you shouldn't get offended if you live in a small market or if you don't like the Knicks. It's not about them. I'm talking about the business of this league. When the Lakers and now the Warriors have kind of pushed themselves into this mix, and Boston and Philly.
Chicago and,
I mean,
and the
come
Knicks.
On.
Yes.
Like, this is math, people.
Yeah,
big city teams lift everybody.
Exactly.
And we all should be lifted in such wonderful financial ways.
Yeah, no, it's look. I went there last weekend just because of that, because it's been so rare of late to actually have.
Get out of the streets and quit hanging on light poles. And like,
exactly.
It's cool if you're just hanging there by the
7th
sign.
Avenue alone.
Cats are climbing all the way up to the light. That's 20 feet above the ground in many cases, Dave.
You go smack into the pavement if you fall.
You will hurt your ankle. In ways that are not repairable.
Exactly. It'll just, doctor will just go, yeah, I got it.
Simmer down. Simmer down, Nick Fitz. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go.
In the building, inside, that is insanely good. It is so good.
Special.
Best night of my life. Best night of my working life.
was amazing in there.
Was in that building when Lonzo and Larry Johnson started swinging, Van Gundy slid down the leg. Me and Mike Cambereri, please, were at the Garden till 3 in the morning doing our piece, because it was just, the sound was so good. We couldn't cut anything because all the sound was great.
Right.
And that was like, that was my moment.
And they're screaming at you, Aldridge!
We got to get it in!
We'll cut it down.
This is so good.
You better drop a break. Here I come.
I'm going to be in the F's, please.
Oh, ENPS, please.
It was so good. So I would love that. No, and if it, and I would love, and look, I'd have no problem if it's Milwaukee, Cleveland either, but there's something about New York, Miami that's just, come on, if you know
it. It has its history. And,
exactly.
And like, you know, as I said at the beginning, now it's just about doing the job. If, from the Miami Heat perspective, it's, okay, you've put it in a position where most teams move on from here.
Yeah.
So just be one of those teams.
Yeah. But Milwaukee's proud. They're a proud team. They've won a chip.
Brother,
they're not going away easy. Giannis,
there will be actual deer inside the building. Bucks click-clocking all over the hardwood.
Just bucking up against the doors.
No, it's going to be daunting. And the key component is,
they're going out easy now.
Yeah. Like it's, and I imagine right off the tip. You know, I can imagine first, and I think that's the message, right? At shoot around for the Heat tomorrow. If I'm Spo, I'm like, You bleepity blanks. You make Bud be the first one to call timeout.
Right, right. Which is hard to do because...
Yeah, if I call timeout first... Well, he forgets sometimes how many timeouts there. So... It's cold.
Stop.
Anywho.
Stop.
it's not one, obviously, in the first 12 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Exactly.
But you sure can lose it.
No, exactly. Yeah. But Milwaukee still got size. Brooke Lopez went nuts last night. Come
fantastic.
On, he went nuts. So he can do that. And Giannis can get 50 any night. Doesn't matter who he's playing. He's that good.
I'm concerned about where he is. Like, I kept
physically,
an eye on him all the time. That back was nowhere near where he wanted to be and still got a triple-double, which tells
you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's that good.
Man, still freaky. He's still freaky.
Yeah, yeah, he's still good. And Giroux can get 30. You never know. Like I said, they're very proud. They're not going out early. Yeah. They're not going
well, that
out
was probably
easy.
The key for game four, more than anything else, was keeping Middleton and Holiday under 15 points each.
Right.
That's
right.
Not easy to do. Usually the third scorer is coming, and you're done. Like, those performances by Giannis and by Lopez were enough to beat you.
Yes.
If you didn't have Jimmy Butler.
Oh, my gosh. That was... I don't get excited about two. I'll put it this way. There are very few games that I watch on TV now that I go, God, I wish I was still doing sidelines.
Yeah.
That was one of them last night. Yeah. That was a game where I was like, man, I would love to do this walk-off with Jimmy.
Yeah. No, it's funny. It's so funny that you say that. I still get to do a walk-off through headsets.
Yeah,
so
I
haven't given that fully away. But, man, strolling out with my full double-breasted white suit. Come on, baby. With the white Vans on last night. That would have been. Allie LaForce, I hope you enjoyed yourself.
She did fine. She did great. She did great.
I just hope she. The thing is, sometimes because of the first round and because of the way ESPN and Turner do it, you're in and out. You're in and out. You're coming around.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So to hit a pause button and realize, I mean, you realize the moment, but really let it take you over. Is hard unless you are a beat reporter or a team broadcaster because you're working with context of each game rather than parachuting in.
Sure. And the season, right? And the whole season.
Right.
You have. And it's just remarkable to me, Jax, that 2 weeks ago, they were about to go out to Chicago like it was on a platter. Chicago was about to eliminate. They weren't even going to get to the first round. And now they're a game. And if you look at how the East is lined up, like, it's lining up for them.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like, you looked at the East, and everybody appropriately made the adjustment. The East quantity of really good teams to elite teams is just thicker, right?
Yeah.
The emergence and stability of Sacramento, and how happy are we for Mike Brown?
Absolutely.
And the organization, by the way, to just – for a second,
city,
settle
they've,
itself.
Settle
itself and get to this spot and players buying in.
Yeah.
You got to defend. Like,
yes.
All you guys are gifted scorers, but you know nothing about what it takes to win, and you got to get
people.
Stops.
You got
to
guard people, man.
Yeah. And so that emergence, I think, thickened the expectations at the top. It's like, okay, Denver's real. Memphis, despite all the,
they're there.
Exactly. And the two LA teams kind of slipping down.
Right.
And it was like, okay, all of a sudden, you know, we got just actual real parity, like NFL style parity in this league, which I think I embrace.
I think it's good. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's good for the league.
But just people in the East didn't look far down enough.
No. But y'all weren't an eight. That was a misnomer.
No, like just like LA's not a seven. Like it's like again, how many games did these monsters play? And unlike some shows that are on in the morning on my other employer, SiriusXM, it's not that there are teams that ride rest and management. That happens.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Right. And there are teams that had just bona fide injuries that they had to deal with. Yeah. Some expected, some not.
Right.
I don't think Golden State thought that they would miss so many games with their frontline core guys. I know Miami, that was not the game. Like, basically, the whole team was brought back.
Right.
You know, except for Tucker, who, you know.
Yeah.
God bless him. He got a better deal. He wanted to stay in Miami, but got Morgan O. The intention was the team that was the one seed in the East and a shot away from going to the finals should play together again. Yeah. And they were there by roster, but not by body. And you're seeing some of that now, that some of the bodies, the majority of the bodies are together.
Yeah, yeah. All right, it's 6:40 where I stand. I'm going to let you go because you have to get dinner. Jason Todd Jackson. Good luck to you, sir.
My man, I hope to see you on the mean streets.
See you next round. Yes, yes, the mean streets of Miami. Tell Miles that we may be coming down for a little libation.
Oh, man. If there was a certain ESPN executive who probably escaped yet another storm and Circle of Firings was here to edit that line right there, he would say, David, that was inside the Beltway garbage.
Leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get this fine American podcast. Or if you can't leave 5 stars, like Marcus says, keep it to yourself, or I'll drop you down an elevator shaft. And you know what I'm talking about, Jason Jackson.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.